Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you greet someone close to you, next to you, behind you? Shake the hand, bless them. Say something encouraging but brief. Awesome. You all good? Have a good week? Yes? Have a challenging week? Have a tough week? Yep. Awesome. Well, it's good to see you in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Who's excited? No one? One person? That's okay. I'm excited. God's good. Did you enjoy last week's message? Yes? No? Maybe? It's going to be an interesting couple of, I don't know, weeks, months, however long the series goes, because we get to unpack some mighty men of God in a very different light. Yeah, we're looking at the unlikeliness of some awesome people. Yeah? But I think that gives us a real opportunity just to highlight just how awesome all of you are. Because for many of us, we're not that different from some of the people that we're going to read about. I mean, at least at the very beginning, because we all have to start somewhere. Amen? And so when we talk about these unlikely people or these mighty men of God, we always talk about the end because we know the end, right? So we always talk about all the awesome stuff they're going to do. But over the season, we're going to look at the beginning, the start of their journeys, and what makes them so unlikely to be called by God. And I'm hoping that if you can recognize, and I know Pastor Jay said this last week, if you can recognize the unlikeliness of these characters that God has used, then you should be able to recognize how qualified you are to be obedient to God. Amen? Yeah? Does that make sense? Awesome. So we're going to unpack several stories of some great men and women of God, and their beginning doesn't underpin what they've done. But like I said, if God can use these individuals, he most certainly can use us. Amen? No? You're not convinced yet? Yes? Awesome. This morning we're going to unpack the story of Gideon. And Gideon is probably not the, you know, when you think of unlikely people, there's not much about Gideon's beginnings. There's like a couple of scriptures. It's like one chapter in the Bible of his beginning. And it's a very famous part of the Bible. And if you've heard me preach a few times, you'd know that, well, not a few times, but if you've been around for a few years, you'd have known that I actually love the story of Gideon. I've preached about Gideon several times. But today, God just showed me Gideon in a little bit of a different light. And so we're going to start unpack why I feel like God has highlighted Gideon as an unlikely character. Yeah? You all good? Awesome. So what we're going to do today is, because there's only a small little piece of Gideon's story that we can unpack, we're going to just read through Gideon's story so that you can get a bit of a sense of what we're going to be talking about, and then we'll unpack and look at why I feel like God is highlighting Gideon this morning as an unlikely character. Amen? But I'm going to pray first, again, because there's never enough prayer in the church. Amen? Amen? Yeah, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the word that you're going to bring forth this morning. We pray that there is something in this word for each and every person that is here present. We pray that everyone's hearts be ready to receive. And we just pray that the words that will come forth will be yours, and that your message will be clear to those that need to hear it. So we just pray and just ask that you speak and show yourself throughout your word this morning clearly in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen, amen. So, for those of you that don't know the story of Gideon, Gideon was a judge in the time of Israel's history. And so, because he was a judge, we go to the book of Judges. I always say, go to turn to the book of Gideon, but there's no book of Gideon. So, we're going to look at Judges chapter 6. We're going to start at 11, but I'll give you some historical information. At the time that Gideon was around, the people of Israel had obviously moved away from God. They were worshipping other idols, and they were persecuted quite regularly by the Midianites. God had given them over in their hands to the Midianites because of their lifestyle because they've kind of moved away from God. And that meant that they lived in a really difficult time, because every time they would do something or produce something, they would be attacked, or the Midianites will come in and steal their crops. And so it became quite hard for the people of Israel to thrive because of the culture that they were living in, and because of the nature of the political climate that they were in, right? So they'll do stuff and then things will happen. The Midianites will come and they'll have to work all over and hard again. And so this is the kind of setting that Israel was in when God calls Gideon. And so we're going to read from chapter 11, chapter 6, verse 11. And you're going to need to take notes down because I don't have no slides. So I want to see lots of pens and papers, and I don't want to say cell phones, but cell phones, because there's no words are going to come up on the screen. We're going to read this together, and then we're going to look at four things that I felt like God has highlighted around what makes Gideon an unlikely character. Amen? Awesome. So I'm reading from the CEV version of the Bible, which is very unusual for me to do. But I read this and I thought, this is written in such plain English that I might as well use it, yeah? Rather than the these and the thous that you usually would, yeah. So chapter 6, verse 11. It might be different from the one that's up on the screen. One day, an angel from the Lord went to the town of Ophrah and sat down under a big tree that belonged to Joash, a member of the Abiezer clan. Joash's son Gideon was nearby threshing grain in a shallow pit where he could not be seen by the Midianites. Some translations, actually most translations, say that he was in a wine press. So he was pressing grain in a wine press. The angel appeared and spoke to Gideon. "The Lord is helping you, and you are a strong warrior." Gideon answered, "Please don't take this the wrong way, but if the Lord is helping us, then why are all of these awful things happening?" Yeah, who has said something like that before to God? Amen? Amen? "We have heard how the Lord performed miracles and rescued our ancestors from Egypt, but those things happened long time ago." Hey, sounds like, it's like a conversation I had now the other day. Yeah? Sometimes we have all these stories about what God did back in the biblical times, and we think, oh, well, is God still moving this way today? The answer is he is. Yeah? Amen. "Those things happened long time ago. Now the Lord has abandoned us to the Midianites." Then the Lord himself said, "Gideon, you will be strong because I'm giving you the power to rescue Israel from the Midianites." Gideon replied, "But how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest one in Manish, and everyone else in my family is more important than I." Now that sounds like something I've heard before as well. This whole conversation is like what I had yesterday with a friend. Then chapter 16 says, the Lord answers Gideon and says, "You can rescue Israel because I'm going to help you defeat the Midianites and be easy. It will be easy as beating up one man." Gideon said, "It's hard to believe that I'm actually talking to the Lord. Please do something so I'll know, Lord, that it's really you. And wait here till while I bring an offering." Okay, that again sounds like something that happens when we talk to God and God gives us something and we're like, "Well, Lord, is this really you? I'm not quite sure, God. Is this you talking to me or is this me talking to me?" Yeah, you have that? I'll tell you a funny story. One day I was like, God asked me to do something, and I said, "Lord, is this you or is this me? Is this a voice in my head telling me to do this?" And you know what, God, like, I just got this thought pop into my head. "Yes, Darren, you were going to tell you to go and pray for that random person. When have you ever told yourself to do something like that?" It's like, no, it's clearly God speaking, yeah? But sometimes we have those conversations in our head with God, right? So next time you think, "Oh, is this God or is this me?" Ask yourself, would I ask myself to do this? Probably not, because I would never tell myself to speak to random people. I'm a very, shy individual. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. So what happened in that chapter, verse 17, I'm going to just jump around so they've been reading scripture all day, is he said, "Wait here and I'll bring you an offering." So he goes out, he brings an offering, he plays the offering down on the altar, the offering catches fire, and then he realizes, oh my gosh, this is God. Yeah? And then he panics. Right? So the offering is just in chapter 22. It goes, Gideon then realized that he had seen one of the Lord's angels, and he screamed, "Oh no, I'm going to die." And God said, "Calm down. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to die." That's why I like the CEV. It's so plain English. Then God tells Gideon to go and tear down an altar. That night the Lord spoke in verse 25. It says, "That night the Lord spoke to Gideon again. Get your father's second best bull and one that's 7 years old. Use it to pull down the altar where your father worships Baal and cut down the sacred pole. Then build an altar for worship, seeing me on the highest part of the hill where your town is built. Use the layers of stone of my altar, not just a pile of rocks. Kill a bull and burn it and sacrifice it to me." He then goes on in verse 27. Gideon chooses 10 of his servants to help him, and they did everything God said. But since Gideon was afraid of his family and the other people, he did it at night. Yeah? Can you see where I'm going with this? I'm not going anywhere, I'm just reading your scripture, but can you see where the scriptures are going with this? And then we go to, I'm going to jump again to verse 36, and it says, Gideon prayed to God, "I know you are," so in between this time, God asked him to go and gather people, and they're going to go into battle, and they're going to fight a big army. And so now he's got all these people ready, massive army, and they're about to go and fight. And this is what he says. Gideon prayed to God, "I know that you have promised to help me rescue Israel, but I need proof, Lord. Tonight I will spread sheepskin on the stone floor of the threshing place, and if you're really willing to help me, then tomorrow morning let there be dew on the skin, but let the stone floor be dry." And that's the famous story of Gideon putting out a fleece, yeah? I encourage you to read it because it's a really, really amazing story of what Gideon has done. And for many of us, I feel like we could probably find ourselves in Gideon's story around some of those narratives that he had at the very beginning, early of his journey. So that's all that I really want to read from you from the story is Gideon's journey, because that gives us the very first moments when God calls Gideon to go and be the super amazing leader that he eventually ends up becoming. Amen? And as you can see in that story, there's quite a few things that are happening that's not necessarily about Gideon and what he did, but about the mindset that Gideon had about himself. Yeah? He doubted God. He questioned whether God was actually moving and whether God was real. He was afraid. So all of these things, and so these are the things that we're going to look at, or I'm going to unpack or just draw attention to, because these are the things that make Gideon unlikely. Because when we talk about men of faith, we think God said this, and so they did it. Yeah? Awesome. But here we have a man of faith, but God said, "I want you to do this," and he was like, "Well, you need to prove to me first that you're going to do something," right? That doesn't exactly scream like the awesome man of faith that we think about when we talk about men of faith, yeah? And that's because faith is something that needs to be nurtured and needs to grow. Yeah, and this is at Gideon's very beginning journey, right? And so we're going to just look at those four things that we just picked out of those scriptures over there. The first one is that Gideon was no one special. Now, I say this bearing in mind that we are all special. Every single one of us are created by God. Right, God knows the hair on your heads. He knows. He knew you before you were even born. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He probably saw you from the very beginning when he was laying down the foundations of the earth. You could see where you were going to fit into the bigger picture. And Gideon as well, right? But when we talk about special, Gideon wasn't a prince. Right? He wasn't a Moses. Yeah, Moses was someone who was raised as a prince in the court of Pharaoh. So he had inside knowledge to how the political system of the time worked. That wasn't him. He wasn't some strong dude that everybody knew like Saul. Yeah, Saul was so famous that people wanted him to be king. God was like, "I can pick you a king." The people were like, "No, we want this guy because he's so awesome." That wasn't Gideon. Right? Gideon was... Right? That wasn't Gideon. Gideon was just your normal, average person. Based on Gideon's own words, he was the youngest in his family. Everybody else was more important than him. He came from the weakest clan of his tribe. He wasn't anyone special. Other than the fact God had placed something inside of him, just like God has placed something inside each and every one of us. Amen? Gideon was just a normal person trying to do his everyday work, just trying to make his ends meet, just trying to provide for his family, but he was living in a culture that was very, very difficult because the culture was just bad at the time. As soon as he produced stuff, someone else came and took it away. He had to be real creative in how he tried to make his ends meet. Hiding in a wine press, digging in a hole, all just to put food on the table. Sounds like a cost of living crisis. If we were living back then, they would call that a cost of living crisis. Yeah? And so he's just a normal person trying to do his day-to-day stuff, trying to get ahead, trying to push forward. Nothing special about him other than God had chosen him and God had called him. And it can be hard for us to see what God is seeing because we just see what's in the physical. Amen? And so when God calls Gideon, he says exactly what he sees. I'm the youngest of my family. I come from this tribe. So what makes him special? The fact that God spoke to him. The fact that God chose him. Amen? And so if you're sitting in this room this morning and God is telling you to do some stuff, right? God is telling you because you are the right person to do that stuff. Amen? And so just like Gideon, the things around you that you think defines you is not what is. And so number one, he wasn't anyone special. Number two, Gideon was critical of God. It says in verse 13, please don't take this the wrong way, but if the Lord is helping us, then why are all these awful things happening? We don't think of a man of faith as being that critical of God. We usually think of men of faith are just going to be like, God's going to do this, let's go. But here's someone that's questioning whether God can actually move. Who can relate to that? Lord, you're asking me to pray for the fifth time for someone I've prayed 20 times, he's not being healed, what's going on here? Lord, I'm in this situation again. You said you were going to get me out of this situation, but here I am, still stuck. Why, God? Why is all this happening? Why me? We all get like that sometimes. Yeah? And so if a mighty man of God can have the same conversation, why can't we? You can have that conversation with God. You can be critical of God. Amen? You just don't let that criticism stop you from doing what God wants to do. Because we're all human. God knows that. God knows that you are human. He made you and he made me. Amen? And so if you're sitting here and you're wondering why God is doing stuff and why God hasn't moved and why these doors hasn't opened yet, that's okay. Doesn't change that God is calling you and asking you to do something though. And so if you're in that place and you're thinking God can't use me because I don't even believe that God is going to do the stuff that he's asking me to do, that's fine. By the way, I'm going to give you like 3 points afterwards around how to overcome these things. So, yeah? And so if a mighty man of God like Gideon can stand there and question why God isn't doing what he wants to do, that's okay. Because God wouldn't need us if everything was running smoothly. If everybody was healed and no one needed prayer, God would not ask you to go and pray for someone for healing. You all right? Does that make sense? If people weren't going through tough times, you wouldn't need to encourage them. Awesome. Sometimes God's going to ask us to do things that's going to scare us, and we're going to be faced in situations where we're going to question why things have not been done before. You've asked me to do this back. You know, maybe God asked you to do something many, many years ago and you did it and it failed. And now God's asking you to do something again. And you're like, Lord, but I did it back then and it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. Yeah? Well, maybe you did it back then, but you weren't 100% ready. Yeah? Or maybe you did it because God said do it, but you did it your way and not God's way. So things didn't go specifically according to plan. Because you heard the go, Lord, and you went, but you didn't take the instructions with you. And so there's a lot of reasons why things happen the way they happen, yeah? And sometimes it's okay to be critical with God. We sometimes feel like we shouldn't be having certain conversations with God. God wants a relationship with us. And that means having conversations with us. It means going back and forth. Who's ever been in a relationship and never had an argument? If you have, like, come and speak to me. I need to learn some stuff. Yeah. But our relationship with God is no different from the relationships that we have with people. Right? Sometimes we'll agree, sometimes we won't, sometimes we'll have to go. But the key to relationships is communication. And so if you want a good relationship with God, there needs to be open and frank communication. Amen. I did some work earlier in my career, but when I started, I used to do youth work and go into schools and do healthy relationships education. And one of the things that hinders healthy relationships is lack of communication. And so people hold on to what they feel and they don't want to express that, and then things don't go the way it goes. So when we get things and we get critical with God, we've got to take that to God. Amen? Because he wants to talk with you. Yeah, every time Gideon had an issue, he just went to God. Okay. Number three. Why was Gideon unlikely? Third point. Gideon was afraid. Love this point. Because God will very seldomly ask you to do something that doesn't cause a bit of fear. Because if it didn't, you'd probably just do it by yourself. Amen? Fear stops us from doing certain things. If we didn't have fear, we'd do anything. Amen? Someone remind me that next time when I preach, I've got to turn off my thing from going down. Amen? Gideon was afraid. So most people talk about Gideon's fear when they talk about him pressing wine in the wine press. And I did this as well. So he was fear of the Midianites, so he hid in the wine press and he pressed grain. But in this scripture that we've just read, God asked him to destroy the temple of God asked him to pull down the pillar of Baal. And the scriptures tell us that he was so afraid that he ended up doing it at night. Because he was worried about the social consequences of him doing something that everybody else didn't want him to do. How many of us, when God asks us to do something, gets afraid of that social consequences? Amen. We stuck in maybe we're at school and we don't want to look uncool. Maybe we're at work, and if we do this, people are going to look at us weirdly. We'll say stuff, oh, look at this person, holier than thou. Yeah? You know, fear is an interesting thing, and I'm going to talk a little bit about fear when we get to the end, because I think fear is like one of the gifts that God has given us. I know people look at me like when I say fear is a gift that God has given us, but it is, and I'll unpack it a little bit more. But it's okay to be afraid sometimes. Especially when God asks us to do big things. Some of the things that God asks us to do, we should be afraid of doing. Because God's going to make a big impact, and he's going to make a big change. Amen? If we're not going to be afraid of some of the things, then it's like, and I've said this many times, if what God's asking you to do or if what you are dreaming about doing is not scaring you, then maybe your dreams are not big enough. Yeah? Sometimes God's going to ask us to do things that's going to scare us, and it's okay to be afraid of those things. It's okay to be, Lord, I'm not quite sure if I'm the right person to do this. I'm a bit worried about the social consequences or the other consequences or whatever consequences we're going to do. That is scaring me. That's okay. It's okay to be scared because God's going to ask you to do stuff that's probably going to be out of your comfort zone. Yeah? And that's okay. Fear is a part of our everyday life, and it's not something that we should be afraid of or even embarrassed about. I reckon we should talk about fear more often in the church. I know that scares you, but that's okay. Thank you, Malva, got the joke. Yeah? So here we have Gideon, mighty man of God, who was fearful of the things that God had asked him to do. Yeah? But that fear didn't stop him. He still went and did it anyway, right? Sometimes God will ask us to do things that it's fearful. That's okay. Number four. Gideon had a little faith. And I touched on this very at the beginning. Because we know that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Yeah? So you don't need a lot of faith. But when God asked him to do stuff, on many occasions, he would be like, I don't know, Lord. Is this really you? I don't know, Lord, I need some proof that you're actually going to do this. I don't know, Lord, what's going to happen if I step out. And in our heads, if you talk about people that are fear, that have a lot of faith, they hear God, they're obedient, they go, they do, they see awesome wonders, they see miracles, no questions asked. In my head, that's what I think about when I think of people that I feel like have a lot of faith. Yeah? But Gideon shows us that you don't actually need a lot of faith. Because like I said, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. And so to me, these four things summarize or highlight why Gideon is an unlikely character. Because I'm sure there would have been people that in Israel at the time that was more famous, that was more noticeable, that was more prominent. There would have been someone from the biggest and the most famous tribe. There would have been stronger warriors. There would have been people with more influence. There would have been people that actually knew what they were doing. There would have been a general somewhere. But God chose someone who was just making his ends meet. God could have chosen someone who, you know, worked in the temple that wouldn't have questioned him. Yeah, God could have showed up in the temple at the time and been like to the priest, I want you to do this. The priest would have been like, sweet, we're off. But God didn't. God went to someone who's working in the fields. Well, he wasn't working in the field, but he went to someone who was working. Someone that God probably knew would question him. Someone that God knew would be fearful. And I say God knew because he knows us, right? He knows our strengths and I know his weaknesses. And so if you're sitting here and you're questioning God, or you're not sure whether this is God that's speaking to you and you're critical of God, or you're not sure that if you prayed for this person, that person will be healed, or you're not sure if you did this, it would make any difference. It doesn't matter. Because this is the blueprint. So if you fit into any of this, you're probably the perfect person if God is talking to you right now. Amen? Because God doesn't choose people based on their position, their work, their experience, how awesome they are, or how much miracles they've achieved in their lives, or how much mission trips they've been on. God chooses people because he understands what he's placed inside of them. God has placed significance in each and every one of us, and that significance looks different. You may not be able to see it, but God does. And so if God is asking you to do something, it's because he knows he's placed this in you for you to be able to achieve. He's speaking to Gideon because he placed this calling on Gideon's life. And if he's speaking to you, it's because he's placed something in yours. And so it doesn't matter how you are, how much qualifications you have, or where your work experience is based. If he's speaking to you, it's because he knows inside of you he's placed something significant for the calling that he's currently calling you to do. Yeah? And so you don't have to, I don't know why, I feel like I'm saying this several times, but maybe there's someone in the room that is feeling as if they haven't got their things together yet, and maybe they need to do some more training. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not quite sure. But I just hear God saying, you don't have to get everything together in order for you to be obedient to his calling. Because he's already placed it in you. You've just got to walk it out. You just got to figure it out. It's there already. Amen? And so the story of Gideon summarizes an unlikely character because for many, it's not anything special. He's your average Joe trying to do work, trying to get ahead, trying to make ends meet in a culture and a time that was really difficult for Israel to actually do that. And yet God called him. God called a doubter, a questioner, someone who was afraid. God called him because I believe God placed something inside of him that God could see. So God knew that out of everyone in Israel, this was the person. And God knew it before he knew it. Just like God knows it before you know it. And sometimes God will give us pictures and he'll give us images and he'll give us things to help us along that journey. But if he's talking to you, I want to encourage you, he's talking to you because he knows you've got what it takes to do what he's calling you to do. God doesn't set us up for failure. Sometimes we mess up because we mess up. We people, we're human. We get excited. Oh, we did one thing, now we can climb Mount Everest. I've climbed the Wainui Hill, I'm going to climb Everest. And God's like, no, climb something else. You know? But that's sometimes the narrative that we have. And so what I'm hoping that you're seeing is some of the points that I'm making about Gideon. Like, I don't know about you, but I know I can see myself in some of these points that I'm making around Gideon. You know? I remember when God first told me to go to Papua New Guinea on a mission trip. I was like, not me, Lord. Someone else. You know? And so if you can see yourselves in this story, maybe you can't see all 4 points, but maybe you can see 2 or 3. You knew the perfect character that God needs for what he's calling you to do. Amen? So let's say you are the perfect character, because I believe you are. If God is speaking to you right now, I want to encourage you to be obedient to that. But Gideon's story doesn't just highlight why he's an unlikely character. It also gives us some key things that we can do to be like Gideon in that unlikeliness. Because even though he was unlikely, he still went on to do all these amazing things. Amen? And so what changed? What did Gideon do that was different? I mentioned already that what you think you are doesn't really matter. Not what you think you are, but who you think you are, or where you think you are, doesn't really matter, right? If God's calling you, we need to understand. Gideon was quick to bring to God all his stuff. And this is what we need to do. We need to have frank and open communication with God. When we say, Lord, I am just, and this is what Gideon did. When he believed that he was the weakest person in his clan, he didn't just be like, I'm the weakest. He said, God, I'm the weakest person. Why use me? He spoke to God. He communicated with God. When we talk about prayer, we don't just say the prayer that we do when we're up here on the altar and we go, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're talking about real relationship with God, right? So when God's asking you to do something, take your thoughts to him. And this is what Gideon did very well. Not just his doubts about who he is, but even his fears and his questions about whether God was moving or not. He took that all to God. Amen? This brings me to my second point. It's okay to be critical. It's even okay to doubt, but we take these things to God. Because God understands us enough to know that we're going to be afraid. We're going to doubt. Right? Maybe it's the psychologist in me, and I mentioned this before earlier. I said, you know, fear and doubt, they are important parts of being human. They are emotions that God has given us. And God has given us these, this is definitely the psychologist in me coming out, but God has given us all these emotions, right? Because he understands humanity. And if he didn't give us fear, we'd go and do stupid stuff. We, you know, like, guys do stupid stuff already, you know, with fear. Yeah, Adrian's like, yes. But you know, like, if we didn't have fear, we'd do stupid stuff. We'd jump off buildings and do all these crazy things. Fear is a vital part of what it means to be human. It's why we exist today, because our ancestors were fearful of doing silly stuff. And so we've survived, because they didn't go and play with a poisonous snake because they were fearful. Yeah? But it's true, right? We sometimes look at fear very negatively, but fear is there for a reason. God placed fear inside of us to make sure that we can thrive and be successful. Yeah? But that fear doesn't stop us from being obedient. He didn't put the fear in there to hinder us from doing things for him. He put it in us so that we can survive and thrive. Not to be disobedient. Right? But if we take those fears to God, God will help us get over those fears. Just like he will help us grow our faith. Amen? Fear and faith should not stop us from doing things. They should help us to get to where God wants us to be. So when Gideon was doubtful, what did he do? He went to God and he said, Lord, I don't know if you still work today. And so what did God do? God pulled fire down on his altar. When he said, God, I don't know, I said, you know, Lord, you said to me that you are going to use me and you are going to do stuff for me and you're going to help me. But I don't know, Lord, my faith, I don't know. And so what does God do? God says, okay, let's play a little game. Put out the fleece and I will show you. God wants us to be successful just as much as we want us to be successful in the things that God calls us to do. And so he will help you get over whatever hurdle you are putting in front of you. If you need a step to help grow your faith, go to God. And he will partner with you. He will work with you, just like he did with Gideon and the fleece. Amen? So that's my second thing. So my first thing was, if you were not sure, was don't let your current situation, like who you think you are, stop you from being obedient to God, right? The second thing is, take whatever doubts, whatever thoughts you have, take it to God. Go have a conversation with him. It's going to feel weird. You're going to talk to yourself for a bit. But you'll hear God show up eventually, you know what I mean? Yeah? But take it to God. Tell God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. If you don't know, go to a friend or a brother that can support you. Yeah? Gideon was afraid to pull down the tower, so what did he do? He went and he got some friends to go and help him, and they went in the middle of the night. Sometimes you're going to need some people to go and encourage you along the way to make sure that you're obedient to the voice of God. You're going to need some friends that's going to go in the middle of the night and pull down some stuff. Amen? That's why it's important to have some strong people around you that's going to encourage you in the word. Because when God says, you got to go do some crazy stuff, and you're like, I don't know if I can do this, you go to your brothers, you go to your sisters, and you say, I feel like God is telling me to do this. And they'll be like, okay, let's get you where you need to be. Sometimes they'll dob you in. That's another story, but we're not going to look at that script, that part of the scripture in Gideon today. That's for another sermon. But sometimes we need to surround ourselves with people that's going to help us achieve what God is calling us to do. Okay? So if you don't have mighty men and women of God around you, go and find some. Just come to Connect Group. They're full of mighty men and women of God. Amen? Amen? So sometimes you're going to need to get people around you, and sometimes you're going to have to just, they will encourage you. Amen? They will help you. They'll support you. Yeah? Or they'll help with that conversation bit. Help you see reason or help grow your faith. Hey, Le, it was awesome worship today. Yeah? Unlikely people of God are unlikely because we see them at the beginning of their journey. We are fortunate enough to know the end, so we know that they are mighty men of God. You don't know your end yet. But I'm just going to take a step of faith and just say that you are a mighty man of God and your end is going to be amazing, just like Gideon's. Maybe you just can't see it yet because you're not at the end. You're still at the beginning. No baby comes out of their mother's womb talking. You all right? They don't. If you didn't know that, they don't. They come out as babies. And they grow into the adult that they will become. Just like all of us. At the beginning of our journey, we are just unlikely characters. But we can grow into the mighty men and women that God is calling us to be. It would be good if God showed us all our ends from our beginnings. But he doesn't. But what he does, though, is he shows us the beginning of some unlikely characters so that we could see what they look like when they started at their journey. And there will be unlikely characters over the course of this series. You're going to see unlikely characters that are going to be unlikely for many different reasons. They're going to be unlikely because of the things that they have done. They're going to be unlikely because of the places where they were born. They're going to be unlikely because of the attitudes that they have. But they were all unlikely people. And they are all mighty men and women of God. And our hope is that if you can see yourself in these people, you can see that God doesn't need a fancy, big soldier type of dude. He doesn't need a prince or a prophet. He doesn't need you to be the Prime Minister of New Zealand to make a difference in this nation. He doesn't. He just needs you to be you. Because he's placed the difference that you're going to make inside of you already. When he knitted you together in your mother's womb, he placed those things inside of you. The question is, do you get on that journey? Do you acknowledge that I'm an unlikely person? But you know what? God's calling me to do this, so let's just see where this journey goes. Or do you go, no, Lord, I'll wait until you make me the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and then I'll start doing stuff for you. Yeah? Because if Gideon had waited for him to be a general before he took the army to battle, he would never have gone to battle because Israel didn't have an army. You all right? So sometimes God is calling us to do stuff that never existed before. Or doesn't exist right now. But he knows why he's calling you. And it's not your voice calling you. Amen? It's his voice. Because we all get like that. God says something and we think, Lord, is this really you or is this just my imagination? Is this really you or is it me thinking all this stuff? Yeah? It's God. I just want to say that for whoever's in that space right now. Yeah? God's got purpose inside each and every one of us. Sometimes we think we know what it is. Sometimes we do know what it is. And sometimes we have no clue what it is. It's okay. God will help you unravel that. And if you're thinking that I'm an unlikely person because I don't even believe God and I don't even know why I'm coming to church and I'm only here because this person brought me here today and I don't even know what's the difference between A and B and I can't make sense of the Bible because it's just all these and thous and these and those and don'ts. I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. It doesn't matter. If God is calling you, he will teach you along the way. Yeah? Amen? Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each and every person that is sitting in this room this morning. I want to thank you for the unlikeliness that we're all sitting in this space. But I also want to thank you that you have placed inside of us something that is greater than each and every one of us, that you have called us for something bigger. And Lord, I just want to thank you for each person. And I want to thank you for each calling that you have on their life. And I just want to encourage, Lord, that as we sit here and as we journey and as we move and as we resonate with you, Lord, that you will continue to unpack, you'll continue to communicate, you'll continue to help us get us to where we need to be. I pray that there will be boldness placed upon each and every person so that they may be obedient to your voice and your calling. And even if there's roadblocks in the way, Lord, I pray that we will be bold enough to partner with you to get us to where we need to be to achieve your plans and purposes for this community in this valley. I want to thank you for your unfailing love and your grace and your guidance as we journey with you to become the mighty men and women of God that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone says, amen, amen, amen.
Check, check. Give Pastor Darren a hand.